Welcome to Trailblazing Nursing, a podcast sponsored by the University of South Florida College of Nursing. I'm Usha Menon, Dean of the College of Nursing and Senior Associate Vice President at USF Health. Every month, we'll bring you a 15-minute discussion on current topics in nursing, talking with your colleagues and experts from across the world. Today, our topic is the Nero syndrome in nursing. Are we fiddling while the crisis escalates? I'd like to welcome Dr. Tim Raderstorf, nurse innovator and a really fun guest. Dr. Raderstorf is engaged in neurosurgical research, skilling the healthcare workforce in India, developing innovation curriculum, designing clinical spaces, improving patient throughput in ambulatory care, promoting patient safety and satisfaction in one of the nation's largest emergency departments, transitioning organizations into new physical locations, and developing novel commercial innovations to enhance patient outcomes. He is the founder of the Innovation Studio, a movable makerspace Frankensteined together with an incubator to promote interprofessional collaboration at The Ohio State University, which combines his passions of connecting great people and fostering ideation through the innovation and commercialization process. He recently co-authored a book titled Evidence-Based Leadership, Innovation, and Entrepreneurship in Nursing and Healthcare, A Practical Guide for Success. I have the distinct privilege of calling Tim a colleague and also a dear friend. Tim, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, as you were reading that, it's weird to reflect back on all the things that that occurs during a short career. But two, I was laughing and smiling over some of our efforts together to skill the workforce in India and some of the good times we had traveling and trying to have impact there. So it's great to be spending this time with you and having a little bit of nostalgia as part of it.
Wonderful. So you're on season one, 2022 of the Trailblazing Nursing podcast from the University of South Florida College of Nursing. So I'm intrigued by the term Frankensteined in your bio. Mm-hmm. What was that initiative?
So that goes back to my time at Ohio State, where we started a makerspace and an idea incubator. And when we were looking at models, there are models that kind of followed what we wanted to do there. But essentially, what we were trying to do was answer the question of, I have this great idea, I just don't know where to begin. And when we thought about how could we answer that question, the only logical answer that came to us was, well, you have to build a space that you go to when you have a great question you need to begin. So we looked at models of makerspaces, and a lot of those were geared towards making and tinkering. We looked at models of incubators, and all of those were geared towards
starting businesses. And we knew at that time that a lot of the ideas that were going to come to us from frontline clinical staff weren't going to be businesses, or they weren't going to be things that they just wanted to tinker with. They wanted to have impact with their ideas. So we needed to kind of hodgepodge together, Frankenstein together, if you will, take the best parts and put it together of a lot of different models, and then kind of create our own as well. So we got to kind of pick and choose what the best model would be to empower people to solve the problems that impact them the most. And that became the Innovation Studio.
How intriguing. So this was available to faculty, which is sort of novel.
Yes, it was available to faculty, students, and staff. So anyone who is affiliated with The Ohio State University, it still is a place where they go, where they have a great idea and don't know where to begin. And then what's truly unique about it is that we fund every team who comes to us, or that now they fund. I just took a new role a month ago, so I'm still working on my pronouns of us and we and them as I've transitioned away from that team. But that team still funds every team who pitches their idea to them. And that's the beauty of this model, is that, we believe that ideas are a dime a dozen, and everyone can have great ideas. Some people think they have, ideas that aren't worthwhile or worth a lot. But what we found is that what the true value of ideas is the effort people put behind them. So by giving people the resources they need to put that effort behind them, we believe that we'll have a greater return on investment and return on effort for them as they want to be the change agents in our communities and in the places we work.
It just sounds like a wonderfully exciting opportunity, I think, and especially to kind of bring together faculty, students, and staff at a university. But now you're a talent partner at And Health.
Yes.
At And Health. Can you share more about your role and your goals there?
Yes. So at And Health, we are taking on what seems like maybe a hairy, audacious goal, but one that we believe is achievable and that's something that we can scale and have a massive impact with.
And that's helping people reverse their chronic disease. So the first chronic disease that we're focused on is migraine. And in the spring or summer, we'll be moving on to autoimmune disease. But we're focusing on some of the tenets of functional medicine and root cause medicine to help people identify what are the triggers of their chronic illness and then developing tiny habits and behaviors that help them address those triggers and the things that lead to their ailments, and hopefully use the health system that they're currently engaged in, along with these new habits, to change their health outcomes.
Boy, it sounds very needed.
Yes, it's a new model of care, which I'm really excited about. So we are set up as a provider corporation. We have physicians, nurse practitioners, nurses on staff. We leverage health coaches to have regular interactions with the people that we work with who are suffering from chronic illness. And then, I think that's a truly unique identifier of this participatory healthcare. So the person who's suffering, patient's not really a great word for them, but it's the person who's suffering, and we want to put them in the center of this care, and then allow them to be, calling the shots on what they can do to change their outcomes, and encouraging them and giving them the resources and support they need along the way. So what's interesting, it kind of marries to my role as the Chief Innovation Officer at Ohio State and empowering people to lead innovation and have their ideas, bringing those to the forefront. But now at this point, the ideas are health or behavior changes that help them impact their health and improve their health.
Wonderful. And innovation is terrific and much needed. And I truly appreciate your focus on partnerships as well, as I myself have experienced in our work together, especially in India. But here we are today, a profession that is well and truly in crisis. There is nothing impending about this crisis. It's here. The acute shortage of nurses that is continuing to escalate. So what do we need to be doing now? Are we simply fiddling while Rome burns? Are we talking about the future of nursing when we should be talking about the now of nursing?
I really wish I had a great answer to this question. I don't know the answer, if I'm being honest. I think looking back retrospectively, many of us saw the potential for this to happen, and we didn't do it. Even if we tried to do things about it, it may have fallen on deaf ears. I don't think the system was set up for a successful experience to what we've gone through. In hindsight, I wish we'd be able to turn the clocks back and be able to find different ways that we could have addressed this pandemic. But I do think a lot of the issues that we're facing are artifacts from a system that's been broken for a really long time. We're hearing our colleagues at the front end, moving even beyond burnout to saying they're tired of hearing about resiliency. So even the research that we have on burnout that focuses on resiliency seems to be not desired by the people at the front lines. So one of the things that I would love to see nursing do is, as we shift and move perhaps beyond resiliency, is moving to a model of collective ambition. Because when I hear resiliency and what I'm hearing my colleagues at the front lines complain about resiliency, when they complain about it, they're saying, basically the system saying, hey, we're broken and you need to adapt to work within us. You need to just suck it up and deal with the fact that we are the broken issue. That's where I think a lot of people are viewing resiliency from at the front lines. Whereas if we shifted that to a collective ambition component and our colleagues at the front lines and said, we're working in a system that's broken. We recognize that. We're taking ownership for what we can control within that system, and we're going to make the changes that we see that needed to happen. That's where I think we'll start to see the things that maybe feel obvious to us right now, like
increasing wages for nurses, something that's been an issue for a long time, that's a common talking point right now. Figuring out if the 12-hour shift is really the best thing for our workforce and for our patients. Being able to have a universal licensure across all state lines, things that have been talking points, one direct entry from an education component. I mean, things that have been talking points for a really long time, but I don't feel like we've had a collective voice because we haven't had a collective ambition yet. So I think it's fair to say that what we're doing right now is not going to be enough to stop this fire. And that's a really tough pill to swallow. But I think if we're being honest, we can do as much as we can now, but we also have to be not doing what we've done for years. And that's being totally reactive to the situation that we're in and not being proactive to what the future is going to look like. It's a tough balance to find. I don't know the answer behind that, but I think we need to give the people at the front lines the resources they need to eventually develop that collective ambition. And we need to be building a new future of nursing that doesn't look like what the past has looked like, and be okay with knowing that a big transition is coming.
Absolutely. I love that term. So in that post-pandemic world, and I think nurse leaders need to be a part of that, building that collective ambition. So let's patent that term. We're going to move forward from that, right? Just my last question for you is, you know, you are very much an emerged leader, I would say. You're taking a huge step in sort of looking at some innovation for chronic care management, et cetera, and with your work at Ant Health. So for leaders in nursing today, whether they're in academia or the C-suite, they seem to be in permanent crisis management mode. Mm-hmm. You spend your day dealing with fires, severe staffing issues, dying patients, or the emotional and the political rhetoric around the pandemic. How do you rise above that to actually lead, to start leading conversations about, you know, collective ambition and moving us forward in a post-pandemic world?
Again, a really great loaded question with a lot of ways that you can go in this. I think that the biggest thing is the belief, and that's not just because I'm a big Ted Lasso fan and have found much joy and comfort from that over the last couple of years. But I do think it comes down to a leader making sure that they know where their morals are aligning and having the courage and the comfort to say, we need to point our direction, our ship in a different direction. There is going to be you already used these terms. There's a pre-pandemic and a post-pandemic world. Now there's going to be a lot of gray in between when those occur. But the beauty of that is that there's a rebirth, and that's going to allow any organization in the world to rebrand and rebirth themselves as the most innovative, the most advanced, the most whatever they want to be moving forward. So I think leaders right now, and maybe over the past 6 months, should have been engaging with who do we want to be on the other side of this journey, and not forgetting who they were and what got them there, but also giving themselves the permission to let go of the legacy that may or may not have been driving them in the right direction. So I encourage leaders everywhere to start thinking about how they want to not just rebrand, because you can't rebrand and be who you think you want to be. You have to change your organization's mission, your vision, your values. And you need to do that in a meaningful way that makes sure that the people who are on your team are aligned with them. So it's a big structural change. You may have to find new teammates. You may have to let go of longstanding teammates who have done great things but aren't aligned with you. But you have the opportunity now to write. It's not rewriting history. It's writing your future. And I encourage every leader to think about how they want their organization to be viewed in the future, and then start building towards that, knowing that it's going to be an incredibly big challenge there's going to be, you know, a lot of tears, a lot of sweat, a lot of blood put into it, but it's your chance to reemerge and move. And that's something that is really exciting to me about the future.
You know, one of my calendar reminders this past week, I have the little sayings that come up, was you're the author of your own story. And I think that's exactly what you're saying. And so we're calling on nurses to step up and to author their own story going forward. Tim, thank you so much for your time. Listeners, please join me in thanking Dr. Tim Raderstrow for his time today. You can learn more about the USF College of Nursing at health.usf.edu/nursing. Until next time, here's to trailblazing your own path.